You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Friday, so it's time for the weekly wrap. And the weekly wrap this week also incorporates the 5 o'clock shadow. But for the first 15 minutes, we're going to talk about the week that has gone by with Skulk Lowe, who is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth based in the Western Cape. It's been actually quite an interesting week again. I mean, the last few sets of results coming out of major JSE-listed companies, a little bit of economic data here and there, PPI, for example, going down to, I think it went down to 3% yesterday. So some interesting stuff going on, Skulk. What was your impression of the week?
Well, you know, firstly, I feel like that, you know, that little picture of that meme that goes around every year of that chicken that doesn't have a feather on it and just says, thank goodness we're in December. Now, I feel like that chicken for some reason. It's just as if this silly season is.
Are you sure it's not a turkey? It's a chicken, is it?
Well, seeing that it's been Thanksgiving, so let's call it a turkey then. I mean, I feel like that turkey. I mean, it's just the silly season has been sillier. Interesting week, yes, definitely. We the PPI figures, you mentioned it, 3%. We saw the CPI figures last week coming out at 3.7%. That subsequently, we came out with a no change interest rate, which was already a few questions. And now, you know, the PPI sort of follows suit with a 3% year-on-year growth. Down from 4.1% in September. So
yes.
I must say, again, you know, when we had the discussion in September when interest rates or inflation rates came down, we sort of said, well, you know, the possibility of the interest rate decrease in September was likely. It never happened. November came and went. And now we're sort of looking at January and saying, well, I wonder if they're going to have a choice. I mean, economically, we're not growing. We had S&P ratings coming out last Friday, clearly stating that we're not only not growing, we're also growing much slower than other emerging countries. So I think it's been interesting. I think I'll definitely be dotting down January as a possible day to look at for maybe lower interest rates for South Africa.
The Arsenal football manager, his name is Unal Emery, has been sacked. If Cyril Ramaphosa was the manager of a football team, given his performance, when did he come to power? I'm sort of losing track of how long he's been in power. How long has it been, Skulk, just before I go on to my next point?
It's the official and it's unofficial. So, again, he was sworn in only this year because, remember, he only took over.
Oh, so it's only been a year, hasn't it? Yes.
Yeah, it's basically a year. And we had a long discussion, big meeting at our annual PSG Wealth meeting yesterday. And we sort of tackled, you know, literally broke up because we tend to say, well, President Ramaphosa hasn't done a lot. And we tend to focus on the negatives. And let's not make this a bull or a bear case again. And we started focusing on what has happened. You know, the little things, the people that's been arrested already, the changes within, you know, in parliament, in power, you know, Eskom, the little things that's been done. And I think the one thing that came out, let's call it the one theme that came out, is that whole Ramaphosa. Remember when he actually was elected, when he took over? I mean, that hashtag Ramaphosa, and that sort of was the wrong thing because I think, you know, very similar to Rassie Erasmus taking over the Springboks in March 2018, there was still some time where he needed to get his structures in place, you know, get his the right players, et cetera, given, I think, in history, Rassie will go down as most probably the guy that got things done the quickest ever. But I mean, President Ramaphosa has done a few things right, and I think he's got some room to play in 2000. That said, I mean, we did get the Eskom story as well. We got the SAA story today. You know, naturally, Eskom brought out results later this year. I must admit, I know last year this time around before we really had it. But be that as it may. The company did show some profits in now the third quarter, but they said, I mean, they definitely, I mean, mentioned it that up to year end, the CEO Jabu Mabuza cautioned and he said that the company should suffer a 20 billion rand loss for the 12 month ended March 2020. So not good. And I think the one thing that really came out is as of September 2019, Eskom debts now risen. Have you seen that? Yeah.
No, carry on.
Just by the way.
Carry on.
For 454 billion rand. That's up another 14 billion rand from March 2019. Hmm. Oh, that is just crazy. This is a podcast, so we're going to struggle doing the whole, you know, let's put the billions in perspective. But just for interest's sake, you know, just when you look at the interest on their debt for this year.
Is this local debt or foreign debt or a combination of the two?
It's a combination. When you look at the debt currently for the year, just the interest that they had to pay on this debt was 38 billion rand. I mean, that's basically the second largest expense, you know, for the utility. So, man, we said not all has gone bad, but definitely when you look at something like Eskom, there's, I mean, the writer really has got his work cut out for
him. He really has. Let me just read you the headline in Business Day, the bdlive.co.za. It says the following. Eskom is likely to turn the corner in the next 3 years, its CFO said on Thursday. I mean, that was, yesterday. As the cash-strapped power utility warned of a hefty 20 billion rand full-year loss, which underlines the daunting task facing incoming CEO André De Ruyter. Labelled the biggest risk to SA by both the Treasury and the IMF, Eskom is buckling under the weight of a 450 billion debt load, the interest repayments of which far outstrip the power utility's income growth. So it brings in this money, and it's a monopoly. Let's not forget, this is a monopoly. I mean, you have to be really, really talented to mess up a monopoly. its interest on its debt is more than it earns. It's unbelievable. It's like you having, I don't know, I won't even go into it, but you know what I'm saying.
No, it's unbelievable. But let's be honest. They were clearly not, you know, after expenses, they're not earning anything currently. So
yes.
It's crazy. And you know, to put that in perspective, I think if you've taken over a conglomerate like that, a monopoly like that, let's call that conglomerate a MTN or a Telkom. I mean, because we are going to talk about.
We'll come to that in a second. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. You take something like that, you usually look and say, well, that's right. I mean, it's fine. We've got the numbers. We've got the but then you get things like, oh, but how do our data prices compare to international data prices? Yes, it's too expensive. So that puts that, let's call it monopoly, or that price under pressure, because naturally, you know, over time, that we need to see that let's call it costs come down. Eskom currently, when we look at the prices we pay for electricity, that's not cheap. So you know, we're sitting with two things. On one side, even this monopoly is not making money, and I need to get this company getting back into profitability so that they can start repaying this 454 billion rands worth of debt. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we're also sitting in a scenario and say, well, we need an economy that needs to grow, and we're still sitting with electricity prices that's too high. We need to put some you know, pressure on them to lower that to help in economic growth. So between a rock and a hard place. But SAA is not looking different. I mean, they also came out.
What has SAA said? I mean, I haven't seen the SAA story because, sometimes I get a little bit, as I was saying to a chap, the associate editor of the Daily Maverick, the excellent Daily Maverick this morning, I said, one of the reasons I read the Daily Maverick is because it sort of makes South African news seem a little bit more digestible, because other news outlets don't make it digestible, and I don't want to hear about South African news anymore. Do you ever get to the point where, Skulk, you think, I don't actually want to read the newspaper this morning because everything's always bad news? It's crime, it's economic woes, etc. Do you ever get like that?
Lately? Yes. Definitely. So I drove in yesterday. I drove into town. So, the usual, and I left pretty much 9 o'clock. So after the, you know, heavy traffic, need to go into town. So for those people who don't know, we came from Tiger Valley area, little 20-kilometer trip that took me an hour and a half. So I had lots of time to listen to radio. They interviewed old comedian, Afrikaans comedian Dova Dola. And I once, yeah, she was funny. I mean, it was hilarious. She made my, but anyway, so they ask her, you know, you still like the newspaper? You know, she says, no, I don't. Why don't you like it? Well, she thinks she's going to force all the newspapers in South Africa to at least put at least one positive article on the front page of each of them. And I was, you know, first of all, she made a joke about it, and it was funny. But you're right. It is, we so focused on the bad news myself, that we don't focus on the good news as well. But again, we'll get to some good news. SAA is part of that. It's just bad. We're talking about Eskom's debt. That's the SEO that's going deeper clearly into debt. I mean, but SAA, same story. They said, you know, to continue operations, they now need to raise at least 2 billion rands, you know, from commercial banks. So that's it. We need some debt as well. We need, in fact, 2 billion rand to continue our operation. So, you know, what happened? TravelStart, that's one of our largest, you know, online travel booking services. They came out and said, well, that's it. We will no longer be selling SAA tickets on our site. Mm. And that's it. It didn't take long. Flight Center followed suit, also confirming that they would not be selling SAA tickets. So how long would a company like that continue to exist if they say, well, we need 2 billion rand to just to continue our operations?
And that worries me somewhat as a passenger, potential passenger, because I would say to myself, well, they have to cut corners. It's like in the old days when Aeroflot had no money, the Russian airline had no money at all, and its planes kept on falling out of the sky. I mean, that's obviously an exaggeration. But I've always loved SAA. I think their pilots, their staff, and then their technical services, their technical backup has always been first class. And they've got an unblemished sort of safety record. But today, I just think to myself, well, if they have to get 2 billion just to, you know, just to give somebody to serve you a drink or a meal, then what are they doing? Are they cutting corners in the maintenance department? It makes me worried somewhat. I wouldn't fly SAA, yeah, but I have to tell you, even though they've served me well over the years.
Well, naturally, a conversation like this won't help their cause, you know, because while TravelStart has cut them off now, you know, Flight Centre's cut them off, you know, this type of, I totally agree. You know, remember, this actually started yesterday morning when they could only pay the employees half of their salaries and 13 checks, stating that they should be able to pay that, you know, by Monday. You know, that's fine. That's worrying. If you can't pay that type of expenses, which is, I mean, not nice to have, that's need to have. What other need to have don't they pay? So I totally agree. That's, again, bad news. I think we should continue and get some good news.
No. Let's carry on with the bad news and do the good news at the end. Okay, let's have a look at Telkom, which is also a government link thing. Let's do this. Okay, this is the headline here. SA's third largest mobile operator, Cell C, has rejected a takeover offer from Telkom. The offer was rejected by Cell C's board of directors, Telkom said on Friday, adding that it continued to believe the offer was a compelling proposition that would have created significant value for all stakeholders, including Telkom's shareholders. I don't know. I've always been very cynical about Cell C, Blue Label Telecoms, and Telkom itself. I mean, it's an unholy sort of triumvirate in my view. But anyway, it's out of the way now.
It is out of the way. And, well, I think the shareholders are telling us that they like it. You know, both cases, funny enough. Telkom up, you know, 3.4% today, and Blue Label Telecoms also up close to 4%. So, in general, not a bad thing. Clearly, for, well, according to shareholders, not a bad thing for Telkom. What was interesting for me is when I looked at, okay, so they reiterated that they focused on why they actually made the bid for Cell C. So, because remember, we had discussion why. So they made it clear it is to, you know, start focusing on data and go into the cell phone type of market. But I think it was interesting to see, well, when you look at, they actually looked at all the SIM cards in South Africa. Now, there's apparently about 95 million active SIM cards in South Africa currently. You know, 70 million of those 95 million active SIM card users is MTN and Vodacom. So that leaves, you know, let's call it 25 million to be split up between Cell C and Telkom. It's going to be a tough nut to crack that. It's going to be if your existence or survival depends on cracking that nut, I think this is going to be a very daunting road for Telkom.
You're going to have to be a really good nutcracker in order to do that. You were mentioning something called, I haven't heard this phrase for a long time. Let me just write it down. Good news, I think it was. I can't spell it. But anyway, give me your good news, Skulklo.
No, I'm fetching. I'm fetching. So let's start off. I usually, you know, so to all the listeners out there, that's it. We've now got the 11th month out of the way. November is done, dusted. We've now only got 1 month left. Hopefully it doesn't look anything like last year, December, because if we can, you know, draw the clock back, you know, 12 months ago, we were just at the start of a very horrible month. So I see the S&P is a little bit off today, and then I'll touch on that a little bit later. But I usually run a simulation of MSCI ETFs, global ETFs, on country specifics, to have a look at how, you know, the different countries fare against each other this year. And you know, we started off very good. You know, South Africa was you know, pretty strong, you know, up at, you know, at the start of the year, running very close at the top of the list, and then just fell back every week. So when we look at, as we currently stand with yesterday's close, I think we've now dropped down to seventh worst performing country. Worst performing country now is Chile. Up to a week ago, the worst performing country was Nigeria, another African country. But now Chile has surpassed Nigeria with a wooden spoon. They're down 25.3% in dollar terms year to date. South Africa's only just, you know, keeping their noses in the green. So we're the only country that's still negative, still positive. So we're positive 2%. Year to date in dollar terms. Okay. Now, that is frightening. So in rand terms, pretty much a similar level. So I've often had the question, you know, how does the MSCI South Africa index differ from, for instance, what we know, the FTSE All Share or the Top 40 index? Now, very quick explanation, the MSCI South African index is physically the companies that's registered. So they are listed within the borders of South Africa. So when you look at a company like, for instance, Anheuser-Busch or British American Tobacco Company, those type of companies, they've got their primary listings. And most of our big companies now got our primary listing offshore in other countries. So the other big one really that still forms part of the, let's call it South African, or the MSCI South Africa, is Naspers. Most of the other big companies that you can think of. So that's actually a very nice way of looking at your, let's call it your SA Inc. type of companies. So year to date, you know, in rand terms, we're looking at that index is up 2.2%, like I've mentioned earlier. Currently, when you look at the all share, and year things do tend to become a little bit more on the positive side. So all share year to date is currently trading at 9.2% up, similar to the top 40 index, which is up 9.3%. And I'm just going to mention it. I mean, and the cap swix up about 4% year to date. So not all doom and gloom. I think a lot of South African bears, we turn around and say, well, you know, still comparatively very similar to what S&P said last week Fridays, compared to other emerging countries, compared to developed countries, we haven't done well. But there has been a few companies. I mean, lately, you know, one or two reportings that we've done. When we look at you know, Raubex, when we looked at Pepkor, you know, during the week, few of these companies are showing us, Mr. Price last week as well, should I say, that they can clearly see a bit of a shift, you know, a positive shift for the past 2 to 6 months. So, again, being reflected currently in the market, 9.2% up, and I think that's a good sign. If we can just, you know, hold the line, because I think most listeners will support me in this. If we can just show a market that's outperformed money market this year, I think
Was that your attempt at a good news story? I mean, I've let you ramble on, but even you, end there, Skulk Low, representing PSG Wealth in the Western Cape, you were flagging at the end there, weren't you? It's almost as though you don't believe it.
No, I do. You know why?
And we're not talking about.
I'm gonna do two things now. I'm gonna do one thing. I'm gonna ask you, a typical South African.
Yeah,
would you say that he's currently highly pessimistic or highly optimistic?
I would say that he or she is highly numbed into submission. They don't care anymore. They really don't care. They will just say, I'm just going to see what happens. I'm no longer going to watch the news. I'm no longer going to watch Carte Blanche. I'm no longer going to listen to strictlybusinesspodcast.com. I'm no longer going to listen to Skulk Low or David Shapiro or any of the other people that I listen to. I'm no longer going to read the newspaper. I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to enjoy my life and my family and be grateful that I've got a little bit of money and I've got a job, but I don't care what's going on elsewhere because it's out of my control. Even my vote doesn't matter anymore because there is a political monopoly in South Africa, and therefore what happens will happen, and it's nothing to do with me. That's what I say.
So, for all the listeners out there, I'm going to summarize this.
Go on, then.
Lindsay just said pessimistic.
Not pessimistic. No, it's right in the middle. You're not a pessimist. You're not saying it's going to get worse. You're not an optimist. You're not saying it's going to get better. You're just saying, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to let it happen.
Okay, so let's work with that. I tend to think when I look at the newspapers, and we said earlier, and when I look at media, social media, I tend to pick up that investors in general locally are highly pessimistic. But that's my view. I might be totally wrong. So let's work on your view. They are neither too pessimistic nor optimistic, leaning towards the numb side, which might be a little bit more pessimistic. When those people that we consider – let's call it the analyst. Do they forecast currently in South Africa? And I've used the FTSE, the JSE All Share, basically all the companies that they forecast on in the individual companies. They currently see a growth. This is dividends excluded. They see a forecasted growth on the All Share of 18.9%.
Sorry, who said this?
So, that's the consensus. Thomson Reuters consensus.
And
I've actually used. I know. Let's not get into the discussion and are correct or incorrect to this. That's not where I'm going to.
Okay.
What I'm going to is, and remember, I've tested this on Bloomberg as well. So it's very similar levels. Even with people being generally still pessimistic on South Africa. So we're not going to look at the value because value we've already indicated that historically, RPEs are low currently. A lot of people will say, well, there's a good reason why it's low. And if there's low growth going forward, PEs can stay low for much longer. Yet the forecasted target prices for all shares by the consensus analyst, pessimistic analyst, are still close to 19% for the next 12 months. So that's the first point that I know.
They are misrepresenting their stakeholders and their clients and their potential clients. They're misrepresenting them. I'm sorry. I think it's a disgrace that they say that.
So let's turn the clock back. So you think this could be a lot different than that period, let's call it 5-year period, between 98 and 2003? Because this is what we've seen. 2014 was the last hoo-ha. We saw that year we start seeing resources really pull back, and everything. We start seeing the first interest rate hikes, and growth just fell away, and that's it. So that for the past 5 years, we've pretty much saw similar growth compared to money market investments than we've seen between 1998 and 2003. Do you think that is a different period?
I think that the next year will be a period where things can't go much lower. and things can't get much worse in South Africa, that interest rates have to come down in order to stimulate the economy. But on the other hand, I do believe the other thing, and that the other thing is the international markets will scupper us at some stage, because we can't go on like this. We can't have an 11-year bull market ahead of a 2020 US presidential election. There will be uncertainties. There will be ups and there will be downs. And therefore, even if we do well domestically, we will be brought down by what is going to be an inevitable correction, even if it's only 5, 10, 15, 20, maybe even a bear market, 25%, and then we're stuffed. So, you know, I don't think 2020 is going to be a good year, but I think it will be a year of great opportunities to buy.
Great. So I do think that I do agree with you, because I did that same, let's call it calculation or data run on the S&P 500 stocks, all of them, and the forecasted growth currently, you know, if you look at all analysts from current levels, is 6.9% forecast growth for the next 12 months. That's in US dollars. And that will place them on a forward P of over 23 times. So I do agree with you. I mean, this is sort of a knife edge. If they get it right, that's fantastic. And remember, we've spoken about a typical South African investor. If you talk about a typical US investor, I mean, they leaning way on the other side is optimistic. So they need to be pretty spot on. Otherwise, I mean, there's not going to be a lot of growth in the S&P 500. And yeah, then a correction, or let's call it a little bit of a pullback. I don't see a crash. I mean, we need to see a huge, let's call it, event or something like that currently, because the companies are growing. I mean, the environment's conducive. You look at the forecast, they're still forecasting get a further interest rate declines in the U.S., So it'd be very difficult for me to say I see a crash in the U.S. market. But then again, my crystal ball is murkier at the best of days.
It's not going to be a crash. I mean, there could be a crash because of something ridiculous like a nuclear event or, I don't know, something else. I mean, if there's going to be any sort of crash to do with the financial markets, it will correct itself very, very quickly, like it did in 1987. If there's going to be a proper crash, it's going to be because of something ridiculous that we can't predict. But there has to be a correction. There really has to be, because it's getting out of hand now. I don't want it to happen, but it'll give other people, you know, that are not invested in the market at the moment, the opportunity to participate in the upside that they've missed out upon. Okay, we've done the weekly wrap thing. In fact, we haven't really done the weekly wrap. Just go look back at the weekly results very briefly over the last week or so, 4.5 days, and give us any results that really stood out for you, if you would, Scott Lowe.
I think, a few, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Brait. Brait is just one of those sad stories. So doing this recapitalization now, and I mean, current NAV, they're looking at 21 Rand 60, but trading price is currently around about the, you know, 15, 16 Rand levels. And I just, you know, talking about 5 years, you know, bad 5 years, this is a company that's particularly, you know, been bad for poor investors, you know, coming of prices of 160 Rand or 180 Rand between those levels 5 years ago, is now trading, you know, 90% less. So I'm not going to spend time on that, because
like Nampak.
Nampak's also been, since the writer resigned, I mean, it hasn't been good for the company. The share price really just went one way, and it went downwards. the other one was Woolworths. Woolworths also came out.
Yes.
One of the companies, I think, sort of a sweet and sour. It's the same story. It's just when I look at Woolies, it's just more of the same. You know, locally, the food side, you know, sales rose 8.8%. You know, and it's looking good in that area. But then again, your focus again to the Jones Australia side, you know, there we looked at the decline again. So shareholders didn't take the let's call it the trading update positively. I mean, the share price closed at just shy of 57 Rand on Tuesday, and now trading around about the 51 Rand level. So it's a company that's come off in 3 days, 10%, you know, after the announcements made. So again, we need to look at that, because that tells us things are not positive. But again, it's not from a international or local basis. again, it's one of the international side is not looking good. What's the other one? Yeah, Jeff, did you see the Tongaat story? That's the interesting one.
Yes, I did see that, but just embellish the whole point you're about to make. It's all to do with another a tale of a South African company that has fallen on hard times.
Sure. No, but that's not hard times. That's crooked times by the looks of it. I mean, they inflated. They inflated their revenue between 3.5 and 4.5 billion rand. That is crazy. I mean, the company made it clear that they're engaging with the SA Police Services now to provide. There's going to be some arrests being made. I mean, this is crazy. They're going to try and recover this, but not positive for the company, because clearly the company has run into hard times, like you mentioned. But then they just decided to inflate it somewhat. That somewhat is 3.5 billion. That's now been announced by Pricewaterhouse. And then Investec, they came up with the announcement how the demerger is going to work. Interesting company, because this was one of the companies that I actually quite fancy during 2019. And I think there is still some value to being unlocked in this company now with the whole 91 being demerged. So remember that the regulators now have approved it. So shareholders still need to approve it. But the company said that they are confident, and I think the shareholders should support it. But we'll know soon enough. So then the demerger should take place around about March next year, March 2020. So the announcement was just made that how the split will be done. So effectively, for every one Investec share you currently hold, you will then so every two Investec shares you hold, you will now receive 191 share. I'm going to repeat that again. So for every two Investec shares you have, you'll receive 191 share. So interesting company. I think they just mentioned again with the assets under management, we're looking at $154 billion. That is a crazy amount of assets under management that the asset management side have. So definitely something that I would put on my radar. And it's been positive. I mean, since then, for this week, Investec moved up in a fairly sluggish week with over 2.5%. So definitely been taken positive, and I still think the company still got some meat on the bone.
One of my favourite companies, Skalk. They've always been very, if the word is not sexist, gentlemanly towards me when it comes to sponsorship and also making people available. And I think it is a good, solid company, and I would support it to the hilt. Anyway, let's have a look now. We've gone through the weekly stuff. We haven't even mentioned Omnia, by the way, but let's have a look at the daily stuff now and see if there's any late SENS announcements, Stock Exchange News Service announcement. PSV Holdings, they've come out with their results since we started to speak. MTN Group Limited, mandatory audit firm rotation. I don't know what that means. Krometco coming out with numbers. Anyway, no, nothing to detain us.
Nothing major.
Nothing at all major. So let's have a look at the spot prices, because, of course, it's a sort of a half day. Just while I'm finding my share net screen, just tell me about Black Friday. When did this suddenly happen? I mean, I've known it's been a few years. This is a little bit distasteful to me. People actually having a whole day where they go and buy stuff.
that's just an understatement to say, I mean, a whole day to buy stuff. I mean, it's fighting. I saw a great comment today. It says Black Friday, because only in America, people trample over each other for sales exactly one day after being thankful for what they already have.
Exactly. Referring to Thanksgiving, of course. Yes, that's a very good comment.
That's a good comment. So yes, I mean, when you switch on any take a lot or whatever, it's just Black Friday comments today. So yes, it's interesting. It'd be more interesting to see what the figures actually look like, because remember there was quite a few comments, and I can't remember which of the retail companies, but one of the retail companies made a comment I think 2 or 3 weeks ago and said they clearly can see that some of the consumers are holding back a little bit the cash and not spending in the last month, because they are focusing on October and the October Black Friday, November, Black Friday specials. So it'll be interesting to see what these figures actually look like, and if it do, if it looks any better, I think this could be positive for some of the retailing companies. But that we'll only know in a week or two's time.
Okay, on the spot markets today at around about 25 past 5 South African time. The dollar rand is 14.73, the British pound against the rand is 19.01, and the euro rand is 16.22, with the euro dollar, as it has been for the last 3 days, 1.10.10. Really, really stuck there. Overseas stock markets, the Dow Jones on a half day is down 0.2%. The S&P is down just 0.1%, etc., but really not much going on. All the other markets are mixed on this very, very quiet Friday, Black Friday.
I just want to correct you. Sorry, Lindsay, I think you mentioned that the US dollar, I think that might be a little bit older, the figures, because
yes.
The rand dollar currently trading below the 1465 levels.
Let me just refresh my screen there, and I'll phone up ShareNet and tell them they've got it wrong. I've still got 1473 here, a 1.2% move. What have you got? 1465.
I've got 1465. Yes, and so also I think what is important. So I immediately went back and said, well, let's look at the other emerging currencies, and see if this is a general emerging market move in a dollar weakness, aka, or is this South Africa? Now, I was quite surprised, because when we look at Brazil, Brazil is down 1% today. Russia is down, 30 basis points. India is down 20 basis points. South Africa up 80 basis points.
So look at that.
Strong day for the local currency. So you ask for some positive news. Hey, you got it.
Very, very positive news indeed. Yeah, there we go. I've just put in dollar rand in Google, and it's 1465. So it's obviously just a little glitch on the sharenet.co.za page. Okay, where was I then? Let me have I got the. So give us the US markets in case I've got those wrong as well.
So US markets, so firstly, it is negative. So we're looking at S&P 500, that's down about 16 basis points, NASDAQ down 19 basis points. But still, even if it closed down at current levels, it is still the best month since June. So we know it's been a reporting month. They've reported third quarter. So this is a good thing. Good thing, clearly, the outperformance, or let's call it 75% of analyst expectations were surpassed on the S&P 500, and that reflected in the movement this month. So let's hold thumbs and see if this market can hold up for December.
Hold those thumbs. The gold price is down 4 at 1459. The platinum price is up 5 to 898. And the palladium price, I've got 1803, but what have you got there? Have you got palladium there, Skulk?
I've got palladium. Palladium currently is, there's my eyes, 1818.
Goodness me. Good move. And the oil price is $62.24, which is down $1.70 per barrel, or 2 2/3%. But let me reiterate that these are very, very thin conditions indeed. What JSE closing indices can you give us on this final day of the trading week? Plus volume, of course.
Also very thin volumes. I mean, besides the movement we've seen on Tuesday, because there we saw a huge movement. There was close to 64 billion rands worth of stock traded. But besides that, we've also stayed around about the 20 billion today, just shy of just below 20 billion rands worth of shares, value traded on the JSE. Market is sort of divided between, let's call it the 90-10, because 90% of the day the market was trading flat, and to get a latter part of the JSE when they saw the negative US market, it reiterated, and eventually the all share ended down 63 basis points or 354 points. The top 40 also, I mean, that's down 0.76%. The mid-caps, small-caps is actually interesting. They up. Mid-caps up 34 basis points. Small-caps up 13 basis points. So looking at the specific sectors, resources taking a hammering today. Stronger rand. We just spoke about some of the commodity prices that's off. So the resource sector is down 1.5% for the day. When we look at the financials is up 0.12% actually with a stronger rand, and industrials down 0.57%.
Very good. Let's have a look on this day after Thanksgiving Day in the United States of America. I mean, Thanksgiving to me, Skulk, is like American football. No one else plays it. No one else has it. But it's the world's biggest economy and one of the world's most populated economies, so countries rather. So you've got to take notice of it. But if I sort of have a look at Black Friday and have a look at Thanksgiving Day, and I think of what's going on in the States when it comes to leadership, I come up with a quote from Senator Sam J. Irvin Jr., who says, "A person who is worthy of being a leader wants power not for himself, but in order to be of service." And I don't really think that what we've got in charge at the moment can aspire to those values.
So when the big question is, you know, will he be impeached or not? Because
he's not going to be impeached. Of course not, because the people that have to vote to impeach him are the people that are employed by him, and they're terribly afraid. They've got fear of losing their jobs, which is, that's a new acronym. Fear, F-O-L, their fault doesn't really work. But anyway, you know what I mean.
A fault. That's just a big fault.
Skulk, thanks so much for your time this evening and all week. Thanks very much for your contributions. That's Skulk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth based in the Western Cape. And that was an amalgamation of the 5 o'clock shadow and the weekly wrap. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.